What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Stormcrow Comic Cast, Volume 3, Issue 3. I'm Ruben G.
I'm Kevin Merrill.
And previously in the Superior Spider-Man, three mysterious shadowed figures had been casing Mary Jane's nightclub as, over a series of days, Otto did his best to swoon Mary Jane. When the mysterious figures finally swooped into the club, Otto realized the missing variable from the equation that was Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson's love. Danger. After saving a falling Mary Jane in a web net, Otto is overwhelmed by Peter's feelings for her, but instead of consummating the moment with a kiss, Otto sees the insanity that is their relationship, that the spider is both the glue that keeps them together and the wedge that pushes them apart, and he breaks things off with Mary Jane. Later at MJ's apartment, she shares the night's events with the recuperating Carly, who has her own suspicions as to Peter's sudden change of character.
Well said, sir. Yes. Well said. Wrote that yourself, I believe.
Yeah.
Didn't copy and paste that from Wikipedia or...
I invented Wikipedia and every word typed in there. Me and Al Gore did.
That's good, together. Yeah. That's a nice recap. I enjoyed that. starting things off with issue 3, we get a pretty cool cover and some familiar imagery. We see a superhero in shadow with a giant signal in the sky with this character's, you know, symbol or emblem in the clouds.
It is very evocative of a different superhero, might say.
Superior superhero, I would say.
Indeed.
Over superior.
One who can rip open somebody's chest without the use of claws.
Yes, with his bare hands, if he wanted to, not that he would ever need to, because he's not a heathen.
Yeah. Of course, Batman. It's totally some Batman stuff going on here, and in fact, that's how this issue starts—a very Batman-esque moment.
Yeah, so we're starting, obviously. You know, like I said, on the cover, there's the Spidey signal, I guess we'll call it, and on top of a rooftop with the signal is J. Jonah and Carly.
Yeah. Carly, yeah. And then I think there's a lieutenant or there's a ranking officer, Pratchett, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not sure if he's like a major character previously in the Spider-Man mythos or if maybe he's just created for this story.
They want to make him a Harvey Bullock, maybe.
I think so. I think so. And so anyway, so we start things off with some dialogue from Carly. She says a spider signal on top of the police station. Really? He's not coming. And Chief Pratchett kind of shows up with a little bit of dialogue, just shouts out Cooper's name. Robert Cooper, obviously.
Miss you, Robert.
And J. Jonah goes, Officer Cooper, Chief Pratchett, how I envy you. You're witnessing the dawn of a golden age. Me, running this city, and the wall crawler finally falling in line. An ancient... of law and order, mine to command.
what a stuck up, arrogant dude. Like, it makes sense that he and Spidey have been getting along if it's really Otto in there, right? You know, peas in a pod.
And so that's all happening in one small panel at the top of the page, but the vast majority of the page is one other single panel, sort of a splash, and a Spidey swinging in towards the police station. It's actually really cool looking. Webs going everywhere. The signal's up in the sky.
Yeah, it's a nice figures. Page. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, Otto is not excited about this signal idea.
Yeah, he chucks that spider bot right at the thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's sort of hard to tell. The spider signal, he chucks the spider bot at it. It sort of connects to the side, and it kind of blows up without physically blowing up. It looks like it's being short-circuited or overcharged or something. The light spills out of it, but...
And there's not a kaboom sound either. Right. It's a whoosh sound or something.
The sound of light or energy, if you will.
Yeah.
But there aren't chunks of it blowing off. It's just he's zapping it or something and seemingly destroying it, but but it's not being blown to bits.
Right, right. And Jonah's freaking out. What in blazes? My spider signal. That was city property. Tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars. Why, you web-headed half-wit? What do you have to say for yourself? Well,
what? Isn't it obvious, Your Honor? Apparently, I passed your little test.
Test? What are you talking about?
A giant beacon in the sky announcing to all my enemies where they can find me? Only an idiot would put that into effect, and Mayor J. Jonah Jameson is no idiot. So, clearly, it was a test, and I passed.
Yes, well done.
In the future, I will provide you with a shielded number. You may reach me that way, and that way only. Is that understood?
Yes.
Now, why did you call me here? So he just, like, totally puts him in his place, and it totally, totally is a dig at Batman. I think that is totally fair to say.
The only reason he would have this issue is if he knew about Batman, which there's been some Marvel and DC crossovers. Maybe they know about each other. I don't know. They just never go to Gotham on a regular
this
basis.
This is a little Deadpool breaking the fourth wall moment. Third wall, whatever wall.
The only reason is because Spider-Man knows that, unlike Batman, see, Batman can just be like, here I am, come get me, you're not going to take me down, I'm going to win any fight. Otto is worried because he is an insignificant hero in comparison to the Caped Crusader. So Batman can have this huge symbol in the sky with pinpointing his location. Yeah, you know, he's a
it is pretty funny
cat.
Because with all the deception and stealth and stuff about Batman, the fact that he does have basically a blinking neon light on the top of one building in the middle of Gotham City that he probably visits like three times a week, right. It would be so easy to ambush him. And like nothing comes to mind, but there must have been stories where people totally ambush Batman on top of the police building or whatever. So,
well, sometimes he does have a red telephone too. So just depending on what version of Batman you're looking at here, but no, it's a clever dig. Like I'll give it to Dan Slott here. I still think the bat signal's totally cool, but I see what they're getting at.
Yeah. It's a funny take on it. It's also interesting because, you know, Spider-Man like totally manipulates him in this conversation, very quickly puts him in his place,
yes.
Puts J. Jonah in his place.
Secures dominance
over
a situation that J. Jonah was totally trying to dominate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, he talks about it, I think, on that first page that he's going to be able to command the wall crawler at the literal flick of the switch.
Yeah.
And Otto's having none of that. You know, he establishes, I will give you the phone call. This is the way that you will contact me.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
And the only way you will contact
right.
me. I will not respond to anything else. This is how you talk to me. Because I say so, pretty much.
So we get a little explanation of what the heck Jameson actually wanted him for. We've been getting reports of a number of bird-like creatures committing crimes around the city. I know, that case is already on my docket. This has been a colossal waste of time. Actually, we heard you encountered some of them last night at a nightclub called MJ's. We were hoping you could fill us in. That club used to be called The Wake. It was one of the Vulture's old hideouts. He's obviously behind this. Him or a copycat. So they have established, it does seem to be the Vulture, his minions who were attacking the nightclub
yes.
to retrieve some kind of article hidden within the wall of the nightclub.
And Otto almost lets the Vulture's identity slip out.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is one of those things that, you know, we've been out of continuity for a while. I don't know sort of what the public knows about the Vulture.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, Otto knows the Vulture personally, and we'll get more of that here. But I sort of wonder if Peter Parker, before the mind swap, if he knew that Adrian Toomes was
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, the thing is, too, you know, the Vulture, from what I know, never really wore a mask. So,
yeah.
Theoretically, Like, someone could probably recognize who that is. Right, you know? Right.
Yeah, if he had been in a police lineup once and there was a photograph of him out there or something.
Or, you know, even just like a newscast or something. You know, Vulture Strikes Again with, like, a photo of him.
Be like, oh, that's someone, my neighbor.
Over the years, you would think someone would be like, totally know that guy. You know?
I'm with you. And they also, this comic is sort of updated where people have tablets and cell phones and you would assume cameras on them. Yeah, totally. So
especially in New York City. I mean, like, you can't go a block without being on, you know, one camera or another in New York.
Yeah.
You know, all the small businesses, traffic lights, tourism, you know, all the tourists taking pictures everywhere, all over the place. You know, you probably get your picture taken, you know, 100 times a day in New York City.
That's right. Yeah.
Probably literally, if not more. Yeah. So,
but whatever the reason, he does seem hesitant to just share that identity. And maybe he still has some sense of camaraderie with the Vulture.
Yeah.
And he's not ready to throw him under the bus. Anyway, Chief Pratchett, wants Spider-Man to team up with Carly to figure out what the Vulture's getting into. And Carly sort of lets slip that, I thought you didn't want me working with Spider-Man. Obviously, I've changed my mind. A lot of that going around. What? Nothing. There's all this, like, double speak with Carly. I think every issue we get at least two or three lines that play either a pun or some reference to the fact that they've changed it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But a little bit more manipulation on Spider-Man's parts. Very well. I have an idea, but I'll need to access your police lab first, if you're all okay with that. Of course, carry on. So he ends up getting into the police lab and he's working on the lenses on his, Spider-Man mask and talking with Carly, unmasked, by the way. Carly does know that Peter is Spider-Man. I'm not sure if we sort of fleshed out that particular detail in a previous episode, but Carly does know
Peter. It makes sense. You know, she's good friends with MJ or whatever. Right. I would assume in the past he's been around all the time and eventually something like that. It's not unlikely that would slip, you know, or if she's, you know, a great detective or whatever, maybe she just kind of put two and two together.
Right. Right.
You know, not everyone's, you know, Lois Lane that can't see behind a pair of glasses.
Amen. Right. It is also interesting though, that even if he's, let's say, you know, he's working in this lab and he's like, okay, I only need to take this mask off for like 30 seconds to work on these lenses or whatever. But he is in the police department unmasked at the moment, which is, you know, I think the first read through, I didn't really pick up on that. But the second read through, I was like, huh, that's kind of gutsy of him. Yeah.
Well, speaking of cameras. You would think there would be cameras all over there and they can totally find out who he is.
Yeah.
But who knows, maybe he set off some sort of camera EMP when he was.
Indeed, right. That's very Batman-esque. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, whatchamacallit, Carly points out that the work he's doing on his lenses is something he could have done in his own lab, and that really the only reason he's doing it there is to bully Jameson around, which is just kind of fun. Jameson is, you know, such a pain in the butt. He's one of these guys who, if he was your school teacher or something, oh my God, I would hate him. I would hate him.
And also on this page, we have kind of a cool moment too. Spidey is there as his Jedi ghost.
Yeah, Peter.
And he says, "How are you doing it, Doc?" And at this point, Carly's not, at least as far as we know, hasn't said anything to him. And he says, "Did you say something?"
Yeah. Otto responds as
he
if
heard
he
heard something.
Something. It's ambiguous, but it does seem possible. And of course, Peter's response.
Yeah. Whoa. Did you finally hear me? And then finally, Carly asks, "You know, what are you doing, Peter?"
Yeah.
So, I think this is maybe perhaps our first moment of a direct line of communication between Peter and Otto.
At the very
more so
least,
than just it's influence.
Yeah, you know? There is something. Peter's consciousness is questioning whether, you know, Otto can sense him at all.
Yeah,
and you know, obviously that's been a theme in these stories, and it'll continue to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I think we've said on a previous issue, I'm reading these these stories as we do this podcast. It's one of the reasons, you know, why I thought Superior Spider-Man would be a good idea. Sure. We agreed on it. It's because I wanted to finally get around to reading this. It seems to me, as someone who's not read ahead, that doesn't know what happens in issue 4, 5, 6, whatever, like the connection between Peter and Otto is getting stronger.
Yeah.
I think that would be super interesting. Like, if by the end of the Superior Spider-Man series, obviously, they've brought Amazing Spider-Man back, if there is just full-blown conversations internally or externally or whatever between Otto and Peter, you know, I can just imagine some great arguments that could be had and different bannering back and forth, you know?
Heck yeah. Well, so. This is a reading rainbow moment. You got to continue. And, I don't want to spoil it for you. So anyway, he finishes up on his work on his lenses, and this top right panel I love. This is just like that opening page. I just think this is a great panel. Peter web-swinging, you know, Otto web-swinging. We get a look at the costume, the elements, some of it that he's changed, particularly on his boot, that one toe that's sort of separated. And then also the lens. You can see a little effect of what Peter was doing in the lab.
They're very, like, grid-like.
Yeah. Know? It sort of reminds me, loosely speaking, of if he had a radar sort of, you know, installed in his lenses, perhaps another Batman-esque moment, you know, having some supervisor that he could detect.
I think what this is Marvel slowly admitting that Batman is just
they, I believe what Peter had done was adjusted his lenses to, like, trace the magnetic signature that the vulture's wings used.
Yeah.
So he is trying to track down the vulture. And on this next page, as he's swinging through, he's reminiscing about some early years back with, you presume, the Sinister Six. And it's Otto as Dr. Octopus in his old school outfit with Adrian Toomes walking around a lair, and they're sort of preparing a death trap for Spider-Man. But Peter's consciousness is able to experience this. They're down in a lair of the Sinister Six, sort of walking around inside. Apparently Kraven and some of the other villains are out on a little hunting party, but they're going to prepare some traps. And so they're just sort of reminiscing and, you know, complimenting each other. Vulture is very impressed with what Octopus has put together there. And Octopus pays him back a compliment, you know, pointing out the clever design of his flying harness.
Yes.
So they're having a jolly good time and thinking about all the fun things they'll get up to after Spider-Man is finally dead, after they get the brat.
Right, yeah. And, well, fun things for them. You know?
Indeed.
Maybe not for everyone else.
Otto straight up asks him, you know, what will you do once we've killed the bug? Hopefully I'll pull off that one big score. That's all I've ever wanted. But that annoying brat keeps getting in the way. And you, Otto, what are you after? Oh, my ambitions go far beyond simple Larson. And so we get a little bit of motivation for the characters. Yeah. It seems like Vulture really just does want to strike it rich. Mm-hmm. And for Otto, money is not the end goal.
Right.
And I think this will play out to a small degree later. But Peter is experiencing this. He is sort of going back in time, and he is within this memory.
Yes, because previously we've seen Otto in Peter's memories, but this is our first introduction to Peter actually being able to see inside of Otto's mind.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. And
they're sharing memories back and forth.
Yes, exactly. But it does cut back to Otto as Spider-Man swinging through the city. And yet,
what Peter experiences is that the memory is sort of paused.
Right.
And he notices it and is going to snoop around in the memory. He's going to look around. It's very interesting.
See what he can find out or what have you, you know, get some more background info.
You know, last issue we talked about the spider app that Otto had created. And if you remember, Peter was surprised and really taken aback when he showed it to Mary Jane, which means that he wasn't aware of it while Otto was creating it.
Right.
He did not share those thoughts that, like, you know, Otto's like, okay, if I use this app and I send this many spider bots out, I can patrol New York and I could do. He wasn't aware of that. And so now we have another separation where Otto is coming back to the present and Peter is staying within that memory. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the limitations to what they can share. And certainly Peter is not always awake, if you will,
right,
to what's going on. They're not always experiencing the same things. So kind of interesting. Now we're back at what happens to be the secret lair of the Vulture, and it is his minions returning from attacking Mary Jane's nightclub and retrieving that package that was hidden in the wall. And these are the minions talking amongst themselves, the three little guys. Almost home. Good. I have to pee. Boss, we're back. All the jewelry and stuff, everything on the list. It was all where you said. We do good, boss? We get to keep our flying harnesses? Better than that, my little angels. You also get game tokens.
Yes. And reading this, just actually before we started to record, I was like, These kind of seem like some odd little creatures, you know.
Yes.
There's some very childlike dialogue going on, you know, saying, you know, I've got a pee, and then they're getting excited over game tokens, you know, because after he says that, you know, one of them comes in, you know, you're the best, boss. And then to that, Vulture replies, yes, I am. Now tonight, who wants pizza?
Yeah.
And of course they all want pizza, except for this one. It's just got like so many game tokens. He's flying off and they're going everywhere as he's moving around the room.
So
childlike.
Auk has really high expectations.
Yes.
Vulture just wants to strike it rich. And these little minions, they want to play video games, right, apparently.
And eat pizza, yeah.
Yeah, and eat pizza.
They're the Ninja Turtles, actually, I think. The more I think about it, I think this, you know, might be the Teenage Mutant
and these
Ninja
outfits with their round heads and whatnot. Yeah. Kind of Ninja Turtle-esque, by the way. Adrian, don't move! A voice shouts from nowhere. What's this? You were followed? Sorry, boss. And of course, it is the Superior Spider-Man who has used his magnetic lenses to track down the Vulture.
Yeah. And Vulture, you know, shouts out, Spider-Man! And to which he replies, Tombs, wait, hear me out. I have a proposition for you. I'm serious. You stop right now. No more crimes, schemes, or master plans. Walk away from this life, and I will give you everything you've always wanted. An enormous nest egg you can finally retire on. What do you say? Vulture's not buying it. He doesn't think he's being serious at all, obviously, because of Peter Parker's personality. He's always making wisecracks and just not taking things seriously as he's kicking your butt.
Yeah.
You know? And so Vulture, just like I said, not having any of this, he says, you young impudent pest, always with the jokes, destroy him.
Yeah, and he sends the minions after him, and a crowd of these little Vulture minions attacks Peter all at once. What? No, I'm not joking. This is real. I've hidden bank accounts around the globe. $50 million if... it could all be yours if you just... And he, meanwhile, he's getting laid on by the minions.
Several of them.
Yeah.
Hit them from all sides, it looks like.
Gang tackling them. I'm giving you an out. No more wing contraptions, bird-themed layers, or circus midget henchmen. Caw, caw. Listen to me. I'm trying to give you what you always wanted. Ever since you were... You see that? He hit Gully, and of course, Spider-Man, pretty dang strong, whacks one of these kids who flies back.
Yeah, it looks like he gives him a good one on the chin.
That's
or something,
right,
you know?
Yeah. Really lays him out, and in fact...
The
mask falls off, and it's a little cherub-like kid. Yeah. It's this cute little kid who's groaning, like half passed out on the ground, and Otto sees the child. I thought, you're not using dwarves or midgets. That's a little boy. And we get sucked back into another memory of Otto's. And it's this time it's Otto as a child in what appears to be a little apartment building, getting struck by an older man. It appears his father, he's having a memory of his father being abusive. And
well, you know, to be fair, this might have been like during like the 70s when energy was really expensive. He's because the father's complaining about the lights being turned
that's
on.
That's right. That's right.
And just unfairly just beating this kid who turns out obviously to be Otto.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is Peter, I believe, at this moment. You know, he's coming in to this window of this apartment or what have you, or this house, whatever it is. And he says, "What is this, Doc? Another memory? Where are you taking me? This, oh." And dang. He sees the smack happen.
That's right.
And says, you know, What should I do? Jump in? It's Otto's past. Can I change it? Is that even possible? He wants to help Otto at this moment in time, if he can, but he doesn't know if he can. And I don't think, I think it's, you know,
it's a memory.
It's a memory, so there's really nothing that can be
changed. There's no time travel in here. It's just him. And I do want to briefly describe Otto's dad, because this is kind of funny. He's wearing a wife beater. He's got sort of a little bit shaggy, dark hair, giant handlebar mustache, and then a table full of empty, what appear to be beer bottles or whatever. So, abusive alcoholic father, boy genius equals Dr. Octopus.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
So we flash back to Otto in the present with the mask kind of torn up. He's taken a few hits and appears to be a little upset. You made me strike a child.
Yeah.
Why? Why on earth would you use children? And he's flipping out here. The vulture responds, "Oh, please, I've always preyed off and lived off the young and disenfranchised. My last minions were also runaways, and you weren't nearly as..." Accessing Parker's memories. "Those were teenagers. This is different. This is too far. Don't look so shocked, Webhead. You know me. I'm the vulture. This is what I am." "No, you're Adrian Toomes, and it's like I'm looking at you for the first time. What I see is a monster, one that must be stopped at any cost." And Spider-Man busts free of all the little vulture children and just hurls himself at him. Toomes lights up. He sparks up into the sky. Mm-hmm. And of course, thwippity-thwippity, you know, Spider-Man tags along.
Yeah. And I have to make note, like, this is one of those things that I kind of talked about aloud as I was reading this issue. Toomes isn't wearing any wings. He doesn't have his vulture wings on.
Right.
Yet he's still flying.
He's still flying. He's got that flying harness that Octopus was complimenting him on. And, mm-hmm. and it appears that he can sort of simulate
fully
gravity.
Here,
So he doesn't actually need the wings themselves to fly. Yeah. And, you know, maybe in the past he did actually use the physics of having wings.
Right.
To make himself fly, and this is just a new flying harness, or perhaps the wings were always sort of cosmetic and the actual flying contraption didn't need the wings per se.
Right.
But they fly up in the sky. We get a little bit more smack talk. "You were a fool to follow me, Spider. Out here, up in the sky, we're in my element. Thought you'd have learned that by now." And of course, they're flying up over the city. And Otto responds, "You still don't get it, do you, Adrian? This is not some old conflict you fought a million times. This is something new. Everything you know about me is wrong. I've always went easy on you, fighting an old, pathetic senior citizen." And he's got like a rear naked choke on Toomes as they're flying up into the sky with arms that have traded blows with the Hulk, which seriously, Spider-Man has done that.
Yeah.
And that is kind of crazy to think, you know, but it reminds you of the power that Peter Parker truly has,
right?
That he is ferociously strong.
Supposed to have 8 times the strength of a
proportional
human,
speed and strength of a spider, you know? So kind of crazy. "You lunatic, you're trying to kill me." And Otto's thinking to himself, his suit, he's improved upon it. "It's manipulating gravity at unheard of levels, greatly amplifying his strength." And Toomes goes up further. He had sort of knocked back Spider-Man with a little elbow to the face. But Spidey thwips up at him once again.
Yeah.
But he is an old school Spider-Man villain. He has encountered Spider-Man many a time,
right,
and can pick up on stuff that maybe would be meaningless to somebody else. And, you know, you think Otto may have realized this as well, but yeah, he hears a warning signal, and it is the sign that his web shooters are low on web fluid. So what's he do? He takes the flight even higher. He really is pushing Spider-Man here. Looks like I inherited everything from Parker, including his infernal walk. A nice, definitely a splash over on this page, way up above the city. The situation reversed now. Peter Parker in the headlock, Tombs behind him, choking him out and flying up. Tell you what, Spider, I'll go easy on you. Which way would you rather die? The drop or 80 times the force of gravity snapping your neck? Speak up. I can't hear you. Plan Epsilon 2. And he tags the spider button on his chest. And we see a spider bot on the next panel.
The very one that he attached to the spider signal.
Yeah, the Siggy. And
Siggy, yes. Yeah.
It's sort of a little electric impulse seems to go through it, and the spider signal lights up again.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, inside the police station, the power seems to go out. Carly, Pratchett, some of the other cops are, we just lose power? Hey, you hear that? The roof. Oh, my. You know, Carly coming out to the roof of the police headquarters, and the spider signal just being electrified, like it's you know, zapping out. And now back up in the sky, Vulture with Otto in a headlock. Adorable. Your bug eyes are blacking out. No, you dolt. Polarizing lenses. And the lenses on Spider-Man's mask have gone black.
Yeah.
And we see why. The spider signal, I guess, was not destroyed.
Right.
It was on sleep mode, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And Otto fires it back up with a vengeance, and this just explosion of light and energy pours out of it. Spidey now has his eyes protected by these polarized lens, but Vulture most definitely gets the brunt of it, screams, blinded, and falls. And during the fall, of course, Spider-Man sort of manipulates his body so that he's basically like belly boarding, Vulture down and smashes him in from who knows how high into the spider signal. Carly, of course, was up on the rooftop and witnesses this. Good God, what have you? This man's burned, cut to pieces. And she pulls sort of Vulture out of this spider signal, and he's a bloody mess.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. By all accounts, I mean, maybe a suit helps him out, but any normal person, totally dead at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine somebody surviving, because, I mean, even if it's not a mile above the city, shoot.
They're 60, way above skyscrapers.
Feet, 200
yeah.
feet, right, you know?
Yeah.
And so Carly confronts him. The Spider-Man I know never would have done this. And then Ox inner monologue, I've erred. Haven't played my part well. This woman knows Parker, and she can tell something's off. Think, I have his memories. What would Parker do? And here, Peter shows back up in ghostly form. Hey, how'd you drag me up here, Doc? You rubbed my lamp or something? So he had been gone. He right. wasn't experiencing this fight and is suddenly pulled into the present, perhaps out of that same memory that he was snooping around in, perhaps yeah. somewhere else. But he's pulled up right when Ock is thinking about what Parker would do and what Parker would say. And so, you know, perhaps, and maybe I'm stretching, but he's like invoking Peter's memories, not specifically accessing them, mm-hmm. but invoking them, and Peter's sort of brought to the forefront. And he sees what just happened. Jeez, is that the Vulture? Otto, what'd you do? Carly, get out of here. And then Ock responding.
What would he say? Is what he thinks internally. And he goes, Carly, the last time we faced the Vulture, he got away by putting your life in danger. And remember what you said?
that he did it because he knew the kind of man you are, that you do the right thing.
And tonight he was harming children. I couldn't let him get away this time. Trust me, he had to know.
What kind of man you are now. Ah, good. You see. Ah, Peter, yeah. What kind of man you are. I missed it. What can I say? Edit. I did that perfectly.
Yes.
What kind of man you are now, Peter?
Ah, good. You see. And then Jedi Peter Parker in the background. Actually, Otto, God help her, I think she does.
Yeah.
And so Ghost Peter, subconscious Peter, whatever he is catching on to the fact that Carly knows what's up.
That's right. I think they're stretching it out a little bit here. Carly's been suspicious of him for, you know, pretty much all three books that we've read so far. But this is the moment where Peter realizes that Carly's on to him.
Right.
And that is the last panel in this week's issue. You know, Peter realizing that Carly does seem to have a strong suspicion what's actually going on. And he's concerned for her. You know, he's obviously worried.
Yeah.
So I will say, not quite as fun as the Mary Jane dating trials, which I really thought were hilarious.
That's just because you like to watch really bad dating reality shows.
Yeah, it makes me feel better about myself. Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a good issue. Of course, the Batman jabs were pretty funny, good.
Yeah.
Although Batman could still totally take Spider-Man. But no, also what I really liked about this issue in particular is that look in Otto's past and the way that he feels about involving children in this kind of stuff. I think back to Saga when we were talking about the will. Yeah. And, you know, even if someone does some, you know, morally questionable things, if he's generally a bad dude, that doesn't mean that necessarily all of him's bad. He still has some soft spots for certain things. And Otto's soft spot, certainly if he doesn't have any others, is children.
Right.
He doesn't want to see children get hurt. You know, he'll try and kill Peter Parker, you know, in the past all day long. But if it's a small child, he doesn't want anything to do with
it. That's right. He's got his own line of morality and what he's willing to cross and what he's not willing to cross. And certainly, you know, realizing that he just struck a child. And honestly, I mean, he could have killed that kid. He could have, at the very least, broken his jaw, you know, given him some severe injury.
And he was hugely upset by it.
Yeah. Sent him into a rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. Get a little bit of sense of Doc Ock and, you know, maybe have a little more empathy for him.
Sure.
And not just see him as a black and white villain.
Yeah. More of a sympathetic character than just some, you know, lunatic or whatever.
And Ock is one, you know, in previous shows, we've talked about how a villain with an understandable motivation can be more interesting than a black and white villain. And Otto is always been a black and white villain to me, that he's like, I want to take over the world. I want to make people suffer. I want just ridiculous stuff. And here we sort of back off of that and get a sense that, no, he might have some depth, some layers to himself. Yeah. So we get a little bit of that.
Really interesting too. Like, I'm not sure how many villains out there are there as the result of their childhood. You know, normally it's like it's greed or they lost someone they loved or something like that. And, you know, also that can lead to becoming a superhero, but also as a supervillain, you know, people wanting revenge for the loss of someone.
It's kind of an origin story for Otto. And it's one that makes me sympathetic towards him. You know, if he's killed since then, you know, you still, you don't want somebody to be a murderer, but it gives a little bit of understanding to why he may have turned out this way.
Sure. Yeah. You know, everyone has motivations for everything that they do. And it's nice seeing, you know, possibly one of the major contributions to, or one of the major factors as to Otto's motivations for doing what he does.
That's right.
You know, for craving power and wanting, you know, whatever he can take and plotting to take over whatever he does, all that good supervillain stuff. We saw a flashback and now kind of understand more about why he is how he is.
Yeah.
So I think that was that part made the issue very enjoyable. The fight scene between you know, him and Vulture was pretty cool.
It was okay. But
definitely it was the auto flashback for me that made me like this issue.
I'm with you. Now, pick of the week. Yes. You go first this time.
Okay.
Yes.
Outcast number one, brand new Robert Kirkman book. Really fun, deals with demon possession, and there's, I don't want to say a whole lot about it, but there's this main character, and it seems like throughout this life, or his life, this one particular demon's been giving him a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
So
that's really a cool. Good tease, because I haven't read my issue yet, but I certainly picked it up.
That's so cool. Yeah, put some Danzig on in the background while you read it. But no, it's really cool, and I like the art, too. The art is sort of cartoonish, but really creepy at the same time. You know,
is it colored?
It is. It's okay. It's got color to it. It's not black and white like The Walking Dead.
Right.
But just there's this one panel, too. I won't give you any context, but it's this kid smiling, and it'll just, like, give you goosebumps.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
But
it's interesting because Walking Dead might be about zombies, but it's not a horror book.
Right. It's a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's totally a soap opera with some action moments, you know?
But what you're describing is chilling, you know?
Yeah. It's really, really good. Already sold out at Diamond. Yeah. Sold out weeks ago at Diamond, which is for people that don't know, it's the big comics distributor. So it's already going to second print. It's been picked up for a TV show before issue one was ever out.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but totally cool. Oh, and it's a little bit of a longer than average issue. You get some more content for still just $2.99.
Yeah.
Image hooking people up. That's right. It's awesome.
Yeah. So. Very cool. Very cool. I'm going to go in the vein of Spider-Man. I'm going to go with Amazing Spider-Man 3. Two of my favorite, among my favorite female Spider-Man characters, Black Cat featured heavily in the issue, and my new favorite female Spider-Man character, Anna Maria Marconi, who I love. She is, of course, in Superior. But Amazing Spider-Man number 3.
Cool. Very cool. So
there was good stuff this week, though. I mean, Saga's out. Of course, Batman 32, yeah, Batman
Revival,
yep.
Justice League, Guardians of the Galaxy.
There were half a dozen books.
Mercenary C came out this
week. Yep, I got that at home. There's some good stuff.
Yep. The Trees came out, the second issue from the new Warren Ellis book. Yep. That Star Wars Rebel Heist has been good, but I guess for our picks of the week, we've got Outcast number 1 and Amazing Spider-Man number 3. So
awesome.
Definitely check those out. If you're not already reading them, good stuff. Good stuff. Recommended. Highly recommended. You'll like it. We guarantee it. If you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. Ruben said that, not me.
I don't have any money.
But anyway, thank you for doing the podcast with me.
Dude, thanks for doing the show with me.
Do you have any plugs this week?
No, I'll let you take care of it.
Okay, 336cast.com is where you can find previous episodes of the Stormcrow Comic Cast, where you can also find some other podcasts that aren't quite safe for work, like The Three Beards, like Name Redacted, like Opposed Thumbs. I feel like I'm missing one. 336cast, obviously, the title podcast. And Midnight coming soon, the video game podcast, if it's still going to be called Midnight. I know Matt's been talking about maybe changing the name. But anyway, the video game podcast is going on the network, hopefully sooner rather than later. So 336cast.com. Don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes. There's the 336 Podcasting Network app that you can find in the Google Play Store, where you can stream or download all of our podcasts on the network. It's a free app. It doesn't cost you anything. But a little bit of your love and attention is all it costs. And like us on Facebook, Stormcrow Comicast on Facebook. Give us those likes, because we like it when the notification comes up saying, "Hey, so and so John Doe likes your podcast." It's good. It makes us feel better about ourselves. We have very low self esteem. I was on the edge of a rooftop earlier this morning, but then someone liked the Facebook, and I was like, you know what?
Pulled you back.
Life is worth living.
That's right.
Save
a life and like the Stormcrow Comic Cast.
Right, exactly.
If not, you're a murderer.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you guys next week.
Superior Spider-Man 4. Bye.